Colossians chapter 1, and then we will also read from chapter 3. Colossians chapter 1. But before reading this scripture, I want to quote from the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." We find here that Abel brought the lamb. Cain brought the fruits of his own labor. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now, when he brought the lamb representing the blood, he obtained witness that he was a righteous man. God testifying of his gifts. So God testified that he was a righteous man. And here's what I want you to note. "And he being dead yet speaketh." And he being dead yet speaketh. And before I speak tonight, I want to call two matriarchs and four patriarchs to this stand, and I want you to listen to them speak. They're dead, but they yet speak. The first one is Imola Lovelady. And this matriarch would say to you, "Serve the Lord as long as you can, even under undue circumstances, because you never know when you can no longer serve him." And I can see her sitting back there with a wig on because chemotherapy had taken every hair from her head. And she being dead yet speaks. I'll call to the witness stand Frances Cannon. And she would say to all the younger people, "Get your priorities in order. Put the Lord and your family first, because life is so short." And you remember 4th of July, right out here on the corridor, Francis went to be with the Lord. I would call a patriarch to the stand by the name of Arjun Gore. And this patriarch would say that you know as much as a chicken. A chicken will scratch the bad behind him and partake of the good and forget the rest. And those were words of wisdom. And he being dead yet speaking. And I would call to the stand Brother Ray Pippin. And he would say, and I'm going to say it like he would say it, "Like Moses of old, as he walked the plains of Moab, you better know you're in the will of God, and you better stay there." He being dead, yet speaking. And I would call to the witness stand George Harris. George Harris would say, "The only thing that really counts is not what you think or others think, but what the Lord thinks, and serve the Lord as long as you live." And I can still see him as he tended these grounds when he had a severe aneurysm. And George being dead yet speaking. And I would call to this stand Albert Lee. And Albert Lee would say to Tabernacle Baptist Church, "Stay under the preaching of the Word of God." And God bless his heart, he sat under some preaching before coming to Tabernacle that literally grated his soul. But because of his love for the Lord's church and his people, He continued to stay in the house of God, and he would say, stay in the house of God and serve him as long as you live. And this patriarch past 80 would also add, when you begin to neglect the worship of the house of God, you have defeated your own purpose. So these two sisters and these four brethren, two matriarchs and four patriarchs, being dead, yet speak. May we stand for the reading of God's word. My subject is Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And in the book of Colossians, the first chapter, we find the author unto whom he writes. Verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So both of them are sending this letter to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, he speaks these wonderful words. Sunday go to meeting clothes. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or love, which is the bond of perfectness or unity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Remain standing for prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we come into thy holy presence, we pray as we have invoked in word, that thou wouldst bless the reading of thy word. And one more time, this side of eternity and a new-made grave, deliver me in this hour of preaching in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. And stir the hearts of the saints who are present. And sanctify this service to thy glory. And we'll give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I do not mean to sound facetious, but we are living in an age that in the average worship service, the house of God has become the temple of tennis shoes. It has become the tabernacle of the tacky. It has become the church of the casual. It has become the sanctuary of a sloppy. And it would surprise you how some people come to the house of God in various parts of the country. And I still believe from a physical standpoint, when we come to God's house, especially on the Lord's Day, we ought to wear our very best. But deeper than the clothes we have on, in Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, Paul and Timothy say to the church at Colossae to put on certain things. But before he tells them to put on certain things, he says, put them on as the elect of God. Now let me pause right here and ask you in this opening part of the sermon, do you know that you are one of God's children? Do you know that you are saved? For in the book of 2 Peter 1 and 10, Peter said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And in the book of 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, Paul said, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove to yourselves that ye are in Christ Jesus, except ye be reprobates. And tonight, one of the greatest needs in the house of God is for people who hold membership in any Baptist church is to know that their calling and election is sure, that they are not reprobates, that they have proved themselves in Christ Jesus and have a no-soul salvation. Amen. Prove yourselves, except ye be reprobates. And oh, tonight we need to examine our hearts. And let me say to you that I do not know who the elect are, as Paul writes to them, nor do you know who the elect are. But our responsibility is in Mark 16 and 15, where Jesus said unto them, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature, and God has not changed that commission. Do you believe that? So our responsibility is to preach to every creature. I don't know who the elect are, you don't know, but I'm glad tonight that God knows. Now let me substantiate that. In the book of, and listen carefully to this, in the book of Acts, the 18th chapter, in verses 9 and 10, the Bible says the Lord appeared to Saul by night in a vision and said, fear not, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall put his hand upon thee to hurt thee, because I have much people in this city. And so Ralph Lynch and Brother Pierce, as we do not know who the elect are, God knows who they are, and if we preach the gospel as he's told us to do, as sure as I stand in this sacred pulpit, we'll see some people saved by the marvelous grace of God. So put on as the elect of God, says the Apostle Paul. And I looked at Noah when he got drunk and fathered children by his two daughters. From a human standpoint, I'd have said he's not one of the elect. When I looked at David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed on the forefront of the hottest battle, from a human eye, I'd said he's not one of the elect. If I had looked at David, if I had looked at the Apostle Peter, when he denied the Lord three times and then cursed, from a human standpoint, I'd have said, he's not one of God's own. But if I had looked at Judas, who was the treasurer of the congregation, who walked close to the Lord for 3.5 years, from a human standpoint, seeing his faithfulness until the night he kissed the Lord, I'd have said, well, maybe he is one of God's children. If we don't learn anything else, we ought to learn this. You don't know what's in the heart of any man or woman. So put on as the elect of God. First of all, Paul says, you're to do it because you are holy and beloved. Now, when I look at each one of you, and you look at me, it's a strange thing that we can say, Brother Mac Macon, that in God's sight we are holy. But in Hebrews 13 and 14, Paul said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. 1 John 3:9, whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So when God looks down from heaven tonight upon any blood-washed child of God, God Almighty says he or she is holy. And then, Brother Bill, God says he is beloved or beloved. And a lot of people have always gotten upset at the scripture, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And they said, I just don't understand how God could say, I hate Esau. Well, what I don't understand is how God could love a conniving, scheming rascal like Jacob. But God loves us. John 13:1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And God's love is an eternal, everlasting love, and God's love will last forever. So holy and beloved are two titles that God gives to his people. So with that foundation, he says, put on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. Put on, first of all, bowels of mercies. I want to point out three things about bowels of mercies. There was a time in the life of every person in this church building when you needed mercy. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, and what finished for me? Come short of the glory of God. There was a time when you needed mercy. Then if you were saved, or if you are saved, there was a time when you pleaded mercy. For in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 13, we see an old publican who would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And this one who needed mercy was pleading mercy. And the third thing I say is that he was deeded mercy. D-E-E-D-E-D, deeded mercy. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? His mercy. He saved us. I remember when I needed mercy. I remember when I pleaded mercy. And I remember when mercy was deeded to my heart. And as a Christian, I ought to put on bowels of mercy. And then you're to put on kindness. There's so much unkindness in this world. And I read in the book of Luke chapter 6 verse 35 that he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Now, it's not hard to be kind to somebody who's good to you. It's not hard to be kind to somebody who's merciful to you. But to somebody who's unthankful and evil, it's hard sometimes to be kind to them. But God says he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. And as Christians, we ought to put on this kind of kindness. I didn't say it. God said it. I believe it. And then we're not only to put on kindness, but we are to put on in our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, we are to put on humbleness of mind. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Humbleness of mind. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up And you better believe tonight, church, we are living in an age of humanism and intellectualism when man's mind is placed above the mind of God Almighty. All the bestsellers say, be your own man, be your own woman, do your own thing. Hitch your wagon to a star. The poet says, you're the captain of your fate and the master of your soul. That's what ancient poets said. Even old Blue Eyes, Mr. Frank Sinatra, had to record a bestseller that said, I did it how? Can you tell me? I did it my way. But humanism and intellectualism are two of the downfalls of this present generation. And if you forget everything else I tell you tonight, you remember this. It's what you learn after you know it all that really counts. Put on humbleness of mind. And then put on some meekness. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Matthew 11:29, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Put on meekness and then put on some long suffering. If God dealt with us like we deal with our brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be pitiful? 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is long-suffering with his people. And tonight, you and I, as Christian people, are to put on the garment of long-suffering. And then he says, forbearing one another. What in the world does that mean? That means having mild restraint toward your brothers and sisters in Christ. That means being patient with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Why don't you be honest with me tonight? Have there been times when you just wanted to wring somebody's neck? That's Adam. That's the flesh. We need to be patient and kind, forbearing one another. And then he says, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. And that means past sins. That means present sins. That means rumored sins. And to just nail it down, that simply means that a Christian is not to hold a grudge against another Christian. That's all it means. Forgiving one another. Don't you hold a grudge. And if there's anybody in this church building tonight that harbors any unforgiveness in your heart toward anybody, if you have not forgiven some brother or some sister in Christ for some injustice, if you have not forgiven as the Lord has forgiven, one of the greatest things you could do is to forgive, because the minute you forgive, you will set a prisoner free. And you'll discover that that prisoner was you. Jesus said in Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you. For if you forgive not your brother, or if you forgive not their trespass, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespass. And one of the garments that Christian people must put on in their Sunday go to meeting clothes is not only long suffering and forbearance, but they're to put on the garment of forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kindly affectioned one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And then he says, but above all. Now when you put your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on, you've got on the garment of the bowels of mercies. You have on the garment of kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing. And you have on the garment of forgiveness. But the great Apostle Paul says, but above all, put on charity. Everybody respond and tell me what charity means. Put on love. Because this is the bond of perfectness, or it is the bond of unity. And though you speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, it profits you nothing. We love him because he first loved us. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 17. And Jonathan calls David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. And I would tonight that every member of Tabernacle Baptist Church loved each other like you love your own soul. And I'll tell you this. If you put your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes on, if you put on that garment of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering and forbearing, it won't be hard when you've put on the garment of forgiveness to reach down and pick up that beautiful, magnificent robe of love, because love covers a multitude of sin, and love vaunteth not itself up, and love is the greatest of all gifts. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Above all, put on charity, which is the bond of unity. And finally, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be ye thankful. Now, I know what the inside of a sinner's heart looks like. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And I know what the inside of a Christian's heart ought to look like. It ought to look like a peaceful lake. It ought to look like a valley of serenity. And yet if you could look down into the hearts of some Christian tonight, you would see turmoil and strife. And you would see, instead of peace, disturbance. But Paul says, when you put on, above all, the garment of love, the peace of God will rule in your hearts. And then he says, and be ye thankful. Now, John 14:27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And oh, tonight, the peace that passeth all understanding can belong to every Christian when he puts on his Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And then, after we have this sweet peace in our hearts, Paul says, be thankful. In the book of 2 Corinthians 9:15, he says, "But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." He's not talking about houses and lands. He's not talking about stocks and bonds. He's not even talking about your children or your sweet little grandchildren. He's talking about Jesus. Thanks be to God for the unspeakable gift. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you inherit $1 million, be thankful. If a tornado blows your house down, be thankful. If your health is gone, be thankful. If your friends turn against you, be thankful. In every circumstance in life, God's children ought to be thankful. You know why? Because all things, not a few things, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And when you can reach the point that you can thank God when the storm is raging, just like you can when the sun is shining, then you've put on your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And when you get to the house of God, you'll feel something. And you won't feel hard at anybody because your mind will be anchored on Christ. Dear Lord, bless this message. In Jesus' name, amen.